I'd like to welcome Tony and Tisha. Come on down, guys. Grab a seat. Grab a mic. And they got their awesome miracle story. And welcome Pastor Alex as well.
All right. Well, this in this 2012, we had a lot of miracles. And one of them we call Christian our miracle baby. And so today we have parents, Tony and Tisha Johnson. And they just want to share with us what happened and how much God has brought him through and how faithful he is. So welcome, Tony and Tisha. They're going to be talking, so give them all the support and love. Amen. I want to start with asking you guys a question. How did you meet? What drew you to one another?
We met on Tisha's 18th birthday. It was at a friend's house. I was probably 19 or 20 at the time, and it was, like I said, her birthday, and we were just hanging out, having a good time, and I guess the one time, the icebreaker that we actually started to kind of like each other, get to know each other, she used to go to this martial arts academy, and she knew all the pressure points, she said, and she said, let me show you a pressure point on your shin, and so I hold out my foot, as stupid as I am, and she kicks it, and I'm like, you know, I'm in a lot of pain, you know, that hurts when you kick the shin, but she's like, oh, it wasn't supposed to hurt, and you know, and apparently there was supposed to be a pressure point there, but it was kind of an icebreaker for us, and it's kind of a nice, funny little story for us to share.
Tisha, so. What drew you to Tony?
His humor. His awkward humor.
You guys might have to share that mic where
okay. Seems somebody to. Somebody can bring us another one, maybe.
Yeah. Guys, what's up with this? One, two. Come on. Yeah, it's on. All right. Battery is good. We seem to have this problem a lot.
Okay.
We'll all right. Grab this one. So, Tisha, what drew you to Tony?
His awkward humor. He's awkwardly funny, you know.
Okay. I remember when we met you guys first time in the pavilion. Eli was playing there on Sioux Falls Got Talent, and Tony, we never met Tisha, we knew Tony because we worked together, and Tony's like, me and my girlfriend are going to come. We're like, okay. So Tony comes in, and here comes this blonde, beautiful girl, and we're like, is that your girlfriend? Did you? You did well. So you guys have two beautiful children. Preston, who is 16?
15 months.
15 months. Mm-hmm. And then Christian, who is 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like
weeks.
11 months apart. Wow. Mm-hmm. You're like us. Hallelujah. Well, tell us about what happened during your second pregnancy.
We found out that we were pregnant like 3 months after Preston was born. So we were very excited. We were scared, but very excited. This pregnancy was a lot different than Preston, so I was convinced it was a girl, so we went to the 20-week appointment to find out what I already knew that it was a girl.
How did you know it was a girl?
It was just so different, you know, the pregnancy was. So we were very excited.
So let me ask you a question. Do boys make you, like, puke more and then girls don't?
I don't know.
Or what is it? How do you know it was a girl?
Well, Preston, he made me sick. I was sick the entire time. It was
okay.
A miserable experience. And I love Preston, of course.
Of course.
The pregnancy was not the most fun thing. And with Christian, it was easier, so I was convinced it was a girl.
Okay.
We had girl names picked out. That's all I picked out. I was convinced. So we were very excited. We went to the appointment, and we loved our tech. She was super chipper and, you know, happy all the time. And she got awkward, I guess. She was really weird. So she said she'd be right back with the doctor, and he came in and said that Christian had gastroschisis.
Huh. What's that?
That's where he has a hole in his stomach and his intestines were growing outside of his stomach or his abdomen in the womb. So she could see it. It looked like a shoelace, kind of crumpled up shoelace on the screen. And they explained how rare it was. His was especially rare, though, because his intestines were so large. They were inflamed. So they were worried about that because they've never seen it before.
When you heard about that, and I'm sure all parents, when we go to see who is it, you know, what is that called, ultrasound, we all kind of worry about it. And so now they tell you that there's something wrong. How did you feel? What did it make you feel like?
I think we were just, you know, your heart starts racing. You know, you start to question: is this something my baby can survive through? Is he going to have a normal life? And that was just. I don't think we did much. We just, all we could do was just wait for them to explain it, and we just, you know, we held each other's hand, and you know, I told her it would be okay,
You were a Christian at this time. Yeah. You were involved in ministry already,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so it's not like you weren't a Christian. And mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, we think that if we're Christians, nothing bad is going to happen to us. Did you guys ever felt like, God, why us?
Yeah, a lot. A lot we did. You always see it happen throughout the world, people suffering, mm-hmm. People dying. And it never really hits you until that second when it happened to you. And that was that moment when we realized, you know, this is actually happening to us. Mm-hmm. And you do question, you know, why would this happen to us? Why not someone who doesn't take care of their child or doesn't care? Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. And what happened after? Go ahead, Tisha.
They explained that now I was a high-risk pregnancy, so I started talking to a different doctor, a perinatologist. I went in every 2 weeks to get ultrasounds and other tests done. And they were kind of confused about our situation because they had never seen it. He had a lot of his intestines out, and they were always inflamed, which they've never seen. So they didn't know where he was on the statistics, like if he was going to be okay or, you know, if it's going to be really hard, what's going to happen to him. So that was very nerve-wracking.
What did you feel through that moment? How do you deal with something like that?
I guess try to pray, try to, you know, talk through it. But mostly, I guess we just kind of kept to ourselves. We mm-hmm. tried to deal with it, you know,
in different ways.
Yep.
How did you deal with it, Tony?
I had never been through anything like this. None of us really have. A lot of people haven't been through something difficult with a child, mm-hmm. especially. And you don't really know. And kind of what I did is what I usually do is I just back off. I try to forget the situation.
Ignore it, maybe?
I tried to ignore it. I focused more on day-to-day things like going to work and making my business grow and anything but that. Anything but the stress and the anxiety that it would cause. And that was especially difficult on her, obviously because she's pregnant, and pregnant women always have all these crazy emotions going on. And so that was the worst thing for me to do. But over time, you know, as it got closer, I did start to open my eyes to it and accept it. So.
What about you, Tisha? What he was working. He almost became a workaholic, you know,
yeah.
Working long hours, and then here you are with this.
I got extremely bitter. Like, I, at God, and
you got bitter at God.
A little bit at Tony, but mostly God. You know, why wasn't he fixing him? You know, mm-hmm. why was he doing this to my child?
Yeah, and you were a Christian. Mm-hmm. When did you become a Christian?
When we were dating in May 2010-ish, around then. Yeah, here.
Okay, here at New Life.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now you're a Christian, and here this bad things happen, and you became bitter at God.
I did, yeah.
What did you do?
I kind of had, like, a weird relationship with God. Like, at first, I just would, you know, not talk to him anymore, not read scripture anymore. Then I had a talk with Pastor Tanya, actually, and she gave me a lot of good advice, but it went one
probably
in one
didn't
want to
hear it.
I didn't really care to hear it. I was thick-skinned. I didn't want to hear it. And then one thing she said was, "What do you have to lose if you turn him over? Like, what do you have to lose if you trust in God?" And
how did that touch you deep inside, or you just?
I thought about it for a while. Like, mm-hmm. That's the only thing that really, like, resonated with me. And then I started to have a little bit of a relationship with God, but I'd restrict it, like. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, for my husband. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you for Preston. The end. Amen. Bye. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wouldn't talk to him about Christian. I wouldn't talk to anything. I really restricted it. And not till later did I really turn everything over and say, you know, thank him for everything he actually did for me.
How did God respond to you in those situations when you were bitter in him? What did
Silence,
you feel?
I think.
Silence?
Yeah. Like, there was nothing there, you know, mm-hmm. even though I talked to him, I thank him, you know, but there wasn't anything, you know, there that mm-hmm. you felt. So.
Okay. And so now you're going through this, as the baby begins to grow, what happens?
The next ultrasound that I went to, we found that he had ruptured. A section of his intestines had actually ruptured inside. And again, they had never seen this before. So I was hospitalized, and we were planning an emergency C-section. That was one of the most scary times because the doctors were like, well, if you want to deliver him, we can deliver him. Well, maybe we should wait. Well, let's deliver him. We've never seen this before. He might not be okay. Well, maybe we should wait. So we were all over the place, you know, hours. At this hour we were here, and then we were opposite
sides. Did you have fear come upon you, and maybe fear of losing him? Explain to us. Tell us.
That's something they kept repeating, is we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. He might pass away. He had, the hole is right by his belly button, where his umbilical cord was. So that means his intestines and his umbilical cord were fighting for room. Mm-hmm. So his umbilical cord could have just cut off the circulation to his intestines completely. And then his intestines would either die and we'd find it in time, or he would pass. So it was very, very stressful.
Let me ask you this. During that time, were you still preparing his room and kind of building stuff?
Yeah, we were.
We had it mostly ready. You know, we'd see stuff, we'd buy it.
Yeah.
So we still had.
So you had faith that he was going to be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tony, what about you in those situations? She spent a lot of times in a hospital.
Yeah. Well, she started going every 2 weeks. Eventually, when she was 33 weeks, is when they found out that it had ruptured. Shortly before that, she'd started going in daily to the hospital. Luckily, she doesn't work, so she was able to go in. And I'm self-employed, so it was easy to be there when I needed to be there. And I'd go to the 2 weeks, and it didn't really set in yet. It didn't really set in that this was real. I knew I was having a baby, but the situation wasn't real. And as she started going day to day, it started becoming more real. Started wondering, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to, you know, your heart pumps when you think about stuff like this. And you don't want to feel that, so you're like, how am I going to fix this feeling that I have? And I decided, you know, all my life almost, I've God has been there. He's brought me through many things, and why can't he bring me through this? Mm-hmm. So I started to put more trust in him, and, you know, just day to day, my faith grew more, mm-hmm. and I trusted him more.
Was there times when you blamed yourself for this? How did you deal with that?
Yeah, it was always in the back of my head. Did my past sins, did my past mistakes, the people that I hurt, did this cause to this to happen to my child?
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a scripture in when Jesus and his disciples walked by the blind man, and the disciples were like, well, who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, none of them sinned. Not that they didn't sin, we all sinned, but none of them sinned, but this is done so that glory of God could be revealed. And see, devil, I think, is a liar. He comes and he tries to bring more fear. He tries to bring condemnation. He tries to bring, you know, fear to stop your faith. Mm-hmm. So continue. And then, was this hard on your marriage, Tisha?
Yeah. We just didn't really talk anymore. We were each dealing with it in our own ways. So, I mean, we liked each other, of course. We love each other, but we'd never, you know, had that close.
You kind of had your own boxes,
mm-hmm,
different boxes. Okay. Tell us about the moment when Christian was born, finally. They said that maybe he needed to be, you know, C-section, and then he just...
Yeah. Well, he was supposed to be scheduled natural birth, but one night Tisha started having these light contractions, so we decided we'd go get it checked out. Luckily we did, because she was just about ready to have the baby. And within 40 minutes, the baby was there. And it was midnight, so the surgeon that was scheduled to be there to do the surgery on Christian when he came out wasn't there. She was actually out of town. And once we got there, obviously they called her, and she was going to head back. And the doctor that knew everything, what was going on, that was supposed to be there, he wasn't there. So you can imagine, within the 40 minutes that we have to have this baby, we're pretty anxious. You know, nobody really knows us or our baby. And
your doctor, who usually deals with you, is not there, out of town.
There were several doctors that could have been there, but were away. So luckily, just as she started to push, the doctor showed up. An easy two pushes later, He was here, and when he was in the womb, when his intestines ruptured, there's all that bile, all that stuff that goes through your system when you're in the womb that he was supposedly inhaling. They said it's going to be difficult when he comes out because he's breathed all this in, all this stuff, and it's going to be really hard to get him to breathe. And when he came out, we hadn't even cut the cord yet, and he was crying, and I don't remember if the cord was cut. I don't know. It was pretty crazy. But almost immediately, he started crying, and that was a miracle in itself. Mm-hmm. They didn't think they sounded clear. They didn't have to take anything out, really. And they took him over the table, and I think we have a picture of when he was born. You don't have to look at it if you don't want to because it's somewhat graphic, and there is things outside. I don't know if there's one that shows everything on there.
Yeah, let's show some more pictures.
This is after
surgery.
His surgery.
Is there one before? Yeah. Let's show that one before surgery.
No, not quite. But
the first picture.
Show the first picture. We have that one. Okay.
Okay. But anyways, everything was on the outside. They had to cover it with a like a shrink wrap type looking stuff to keep it from getting infected or disease or whatever. And meanwhile, Tisha was losing a lot of blood. That's it right there, actually. You can see.
And he was small, right? How?
He was 4 pounds, 3 ounces.
Yeah.
So he was very small, too small for surgery. And so that was scary. Eventually, the surgeon got there maybe 30 minutes later. He kind of sat like this, and they just kind of waited, which was dangerous. Mm-hmm. And eventually, he went into surgery. Tisha was losing a lot of blood. And they couldn't stop it, so they had me leave the room, and they put her under and had me wait in the waiting room. And I sat there for maybe 45 minutes, and I started getting anxious, of course. You know, what's going on with my wife? Why has it been so long? What's going on with my son? So I asked a nurse, at least tell me what's going on with my wife. Is she okay? And she called and over to the room, and they said, well, she said, well, the doctor will have to come talk to you. So it's like, well, mm-hmm. You can't just tell me. So what kind of news is this? So the doctor that was in there, she came out and she said, Tisha's losing a lot of blood, and if we can't stop the bleeding, we'll have to do a hysterectomy, and hopefully that stops the bleeding. But Tisha has a rare blood type, and it's going to take a while to get the blood. So hopefully we can get the blood in time if we can't stop the bleeding. And that's about all I was left with. So I was sitting there.
You have a son mm-hmm. Who is laying on a table getting surgery. Now your mm-hmm. Wife is in critical condition.
Yeah.
What was going through your head? How do you deal with that?
It's hard to deal with both at the same time, but all I could really do was, of course, worry and just put my faith in God that he would deliver both of them. You know, I'm sitting there, obviously, you know, anybody's going to think, am I going to have anything but one son left when I come out of this?
Wow.
You know, you think of the worst things that could possibly happen, but God gave me comfort. And I know I can't, in my own head, I can't comfort myself like that in a situation. He gave me comfort. He said, sit. He said, pray, and I'll be there with you. And he was. And I was at not at peace, but I knew God would deliver them. And he did.
How was your faith at that stage?
That stage? I didn't think it was that good, mm-hmm. But God was there. And
so he picked up the slack,
yeah,
even though we can't mm-hmm. Really rely on our own faith in those situations.
Yeah.
His grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
Okay.
And eventually the doctor came back, said Tisha was going to be okay. She was in the recovery room. And so I went and visited with her, and eventually they came and told me that Christian was doing good too, and that he was going to be in the intensive care unit where I could see him. And
so now you see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Well, you know, at that point I'm like, my family, they're going to survive. They're going to be okay. And that was a huge relief. And at that point they said it could be a month until he starts being able to eat on his own, until he starts functioning on his own. Everything starts working. Obviously, it was a shock for it to be outside of the stomach with all that fluid in the womb and stuff like that. And we soon found out that that wasn't the case, that that he wasn't taking any of the food. At that time, he was on 3 monitors on his chest. He had a feeding tube in his mouth that was going past his stomach into his intestines. He had another larger tube going into his nose that was sucking the the fluid out of his stomach because nothing was passing the stomach.
When I went to see him in a hospital, my stomach had butterflies. Like, oh. I mean, there were so many tubes. This little baby, and there's so many tubes everywhere. And he looked small, and I was scared. I was like, Lord, give him strength. It was hard to see. As a pastor, you know, you get to go see people who have heart attacks and things like that. But this was different. This was a baby. This was fragile life.
Yeah, I think it's difficult for a lot of people to see, especially as parents. When you go to see your son their first time, you expect him to just, you know, be a little baby. But we couldn't hold him for several days, and he started throwing up all the food that they were giving him. So they didn't really know what was going on. They didn't, you know, they deal with these situations. Sometimes they throw up, but they couldn't get him to stop throwing up. And there was many diagnoses that they went through. Many doctors looked at him.
What were doctors saying at this time? What was his chances?
They thought he would survive, but the question was, is his stomach going to work? His stomach at this time wasn't working. His intestines weren't passing food through it like they should. And his liver wasn't absorbing food so he could grow. Mm-hmm. So there was times I just sat back. I was like, just tell me one good thing. You know, mm-hmm. Is his heart working good? Is, you know, are his muscles working? And that was difficult. But
every day they had something different to tell us.
Every day it was something different. And
so some days it would be like positive. Yeah. No,
they tried to cheer us Tisha. Up. I think.
Yeah, they would try to cheer us up, like this is normal. And then another doctor the next day would be like, this is not normal. You know, like they would try to cheer us up, but so many doctors, so many different opinions. It was definitely hard.
How was your prayer life, Tisha, during that time? Now that he was born, what happened?
At this time, it's hard to explain. Like I wasn't worried anymore.
Was there a moment that you had a breakthrough, you were worried? What happened?
I spent more time with Christian and, you know, being bitter at God, it wasn't really working out for me. So I gave everything over. I gave Christian over. I gave everything over. I told him how I felt. And
you surrendered.
Yeah, I just surrendered everything. And it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, it just felt so good. Like,
do you think
no
the peace of God
yeah.
came over you or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there was so much going on. I can't even explain it. There was so many monitors, so many doctors, so much going on, but I didn't feel crazy worried anymore. It's hard to explain. I just surrendered, and I felt good.
I think we call it from the Bible, peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And because you said you were crazy worried before, right? I mean, it was hard. And you told me, I want to say green room. We don't have a green room. But before the interview, you told me that the stress was so big and it made everything just seemed bad and worse. Tell us about that.
Yeah, everything was a huge deal. He's not taking as much food as he needs. I was like, oh, my gosh, you know. I get the world's ending, basically everything. But then once I, you know, just gave everything over, it was – I mean, they told us horrible things that were going on, or horrible things that might happen. Like, he'd need a stomach transplant, or he'd need a tube to be fed through IVs for the rest of his life. It's like, that is an awful thing, you know, but it didn't seem as bad as before, you know, when I hadn't surrendered everything over.
Amen. Go ahead, Tony.
I guess kind of, do you want me to answer that maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The prayer life? Or
yeah.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. It gradually got better. You pray when you're working, you know, you say, deliver me. There's only so much you can say. Mm-hmm. Heal my son. I think the biggest thing that God at that point wanted us to do was just to give our fear over to him. And that's what he wants us to do with any situation, big or small. But this was an extreme case, and he wanted us to prove that we can rely on him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I put it on him, and I prayed as much as I could. I could say as much as I could. But God was in control, and I'd pray over him. It felt good to pray over him. And
you ask other people to pray, churches.
Yeah. The church here, amazing. When we were going through this, the church was absolutely amazing, and just like they are for anybody else who goes through stuff. So it was very supportive.
Not just our church, but other churches also
other
were
churches.
Supportive, praying. Your parents' churches and your mom's
absolutely.
Church.
We had people bringing us food. And you know, I mean, we can't do much with food, but it's the
comfort.
it's comfort. So it's people knowing people care. So,
and so now he's in a hospital, and when I was there, I saw other babies laying in these little boxes of glass boxes. Some of them have been there for years. How long was the baby, other babies there?
There were some that were there for a long time. There are some in there. Some weren't expected to live. Some were just, parents were just waiting for their children to.
How did that make you feel, being in that atmosphere?
In a way, stories like that kind of encouraged us, like we're actually going, expecting to bring our child home. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of hurt people, but a lot of, I think, Christian and people in there too. Mm-hmm. So some people were very quiet. When we first started going, we'd ask people how long they'd been there, and they'd say, we've been here for a few months now. Eventually it became us saying that, you know, it's like, holy cow, you've been there that long.
And so now it's about 2 months. And
it's been about 2 months, yeah.
And then he needs another surgery before he can go home.
Yeah. They eventually determined that his stomach wasn't going to work with what they were doing, and that it would could take a very long time. His liver wasn't working right, and his intestines weren't functioning properly to pass all the food that he needed. You'd be surprised how cool it is to see a baby poop in a situation like this. When you see it, you know, usually like, man, I got to wipe that up now. But it's a little different when it's exciting. And so you're always waiting. Is there, you know, in there? So
so the little joys.
Yeah, those little joys.
Parents complain about.
Yeah. But they finally found out that he had a what was called a hiatal hernia. Usually happens in older people. But in his situation, what happened is they put all that back in his stomach, and that's pretty much all of your lower organs. So they put all that back in, and his body had grown to not have that. Mm-hmm. So it actually pushed his stomach up through his diaphragm. It ripped through his diaphragm, and it was causing him lots of reflux, and it was just squeezing the stomach. So it wasn't really able to function really at all. It wasn't doing anything. And so they told us that. They said it came to the point where it could be months, it could be, you know, he could be here for 6 months, he could be here for a year. Best case, he could be here for a couple months mm-hmm. after his surgery to fix it.
This is the second surgery.
This would be the second
before
surgery.
Before they even considered releasing him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we were getting ready, so we just waited for that surgery. And he was doing good, obviously he was in a lot of pain, so they had him elevated for his heartburn and stuff like that. And obviously, you came the day before his surgery, and
they kept rescheduling these surgeries.
Well, he had it scheduled, but he was still small. I think for the first time they were going to do the surgery, he was 6 pounds. They wanted him to gain another pound, which took I think another 2 or 3 weeks. So it was a lot of waiting. You can imagine going to work and then going to the hospital with another kid, and you know it was.
And you have a baby at home.
Yeah, another baby at home. So.
I mean, just. Newborn, pretty much.
Yeah, so that was stressful.
Under a year old.
Yeah. So, and then you came and prayed for him, and me and Tisha were there.
I want to say that okay. I've been invited like 4 times, and every time it was canceled. So he called me on Sunday night. I was watching a football game, and, and I was like, maybe this one will get canceled too, you know? And it didn't. So I just, you know, I went and... Tisha was like, here, hold them. And here's all these tubes. And I'm like, are you sure? I don't want to pull anything out.
You can't just grab them. Nurse has to help
you.
Yeah,
nurse helps you. I mean, all these tubes. And I'm just holding him. And I felt peace. And here are these two nurses were serving him. I mean, that's how it was. And we just started praying over him. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah. I think at that moment... there was so much peace. You know, nurses came, and there was so much support even from the nurses, from you, from the church. We just knew that God was on our side. And we, at that time, we all gave him over to God and said, you know, this is you, do your work. And the next morning they did the surgery, and they said, before I have to say that they said he'd be out, 6 months to a year, best case scenario, in a couple months. He'd be out if everything went good, if everything started working good. And the next day after his surgery, the surgery went well. The day after his surgery, they said, we'll give him a shot on bottling, but we're probably just going to stick a tube down his mouth again. And okay.
Right before his surgery, Tony was like, oh, 2 weeks, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks, he'll be out. And everybody's like, Tony, you really need to calm down, you know. it's going to be, at the best case scenario, 2 months, you know. Don't get too excited. We don't want you to get hurt. And Tony's like, no, it's okay, 2 weeks. And this
Why were you saying that?
I had a feeling. Sometimes I just get these feelings and I get excited. And that's something I was excited about. And I just, like in my head and in my faith, I said he's going to be out sooner than these. I was like, God, I want this baby to be a miracle. I want this baby to be a story. And
well, the word of God says God calls those things that are not as though they were. So you actually were doing something biblical. Yeah. God says, speak to this mountain.
Yeah.
And so, although everybody was saying, come down, and I could see them saying that, Tony, come down, because Tony's like an ant. He's like everywhere. Tell us what happened.
Well, after the surgery, he took the bottle, and he ate it like he'd eaten his whole life, and he just started sucking on it.
Hallelujah.
The nurse was like, you know, before he started eating, she was like, he's going to choke on it. He might not take it, so don't be surprised. And he just sucked it down. It wasn't much, but he sucked it down, and he kept it down. And from that point,
they said he couldn't burp and things like that.
Yeah, well, he couldn't burp, so we didn't burp him or anything like that, because the hernia ruined that flap in his stomach that allows you to burp, to throw up, stuff like that. And that was probably the moment when we knew God was there, when it was obvious. We sat there. Tisha was feeding him. I sat on a chair next to him. The nurse was standing there. And it was just a moment of God there in that moment.
Presence of God.
And it was quite beautiful. I mean, it was a moment to always remember perfectly, because that's something the doctor said wouldn't happen. And
I remember you called me and you said, he ate. You were like, he ate. And I was like, awesome. That's awesome. He ate, you know,
and
from the bottle.
And at that moment, my faith changed again. And I said, he's going to be out of here in a week. And everybody is like, even family, they're like, Tony, like, chill out. Like, you get way too excited about this stuff. And the doctors, you know, they're just like, they try to blow it off. You know, Tony's been doing this the whole time. And he kept eating. He kept eating more. And come 7 days, I'm like, I'm ready to take him home. He's eating what a 7-pound baby should be eating. Let's take him home and do this at home. And the doctors, he was doing so well. He was taking so much food. I mean, they didn't expect this for another couple months, where he was at after 7 days. And they were just nervous. They were so nervous to send him home because he was doing so well. Like, this isn't right. Like, we need to keep him here to make sure he keeps doing okay. But, you know, in our faith, and at that point, Tisha, too, we're like, this is, you know.
We're tired of being in the hospital. God, we want to take him home.
God didn't just allow them to do the surgery. God was there with the surgery, and he healed him at that moment.
Man, hallelujah. So. You said there was a verse in the Bible that kept popping up and that helped you through this. What was it?
It was 1 Peter 5:10.
Let's put that on the screen.
I don't have my Bible, so I'll read it. It says, I heard this on the radio, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And that's so true, because I'm self-employed, and I've been building my business for the last year. And the moment when they said Christian would be going home, which was at like the 7th day, and the 8th day we brought him home. So that was a miracle in itself.
On the 8th day after the surgery, you brought him home. And they said it, the best scenario is 2 months to a year at least.
Yeah. Okay. And my business, in the slowest season of my business, took off. And it went crazy, and I was busier than usually I am during the busy season, and that's really that verse really stuck out. You know, after you suffered a while, you know, he'll perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And in another translation, it says it'll place
you on New Living Translation.
Yeah, it says it'll place you on a firm foundation, and that's what he's done, and he's done that for me. So,
okay. We got it? Nope. I need a monitor here. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. There it is. It says, so after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. And I can honestly say that starting that day when he said he'd be going home, I felt like God said, you've been faithful. You've trusted me. and now I've trusted you to take this and to run with it, and to use this story to help other people when they're struggling. And at that moment, my faith totally changed. And
us watching you from the side, it was just so fast. Surgery, and then 8 days or 7 days later, you were like, he's coming home, he's perfect. And I was like, wow, God, that was a miracle. You see, God works through doctors, and when they said it was going to be a long time,
because his stomach wasn't even working before the surgery. They said it would be a long time before it even started to work again. It could never work. His liver wasn't working properly. His bowels weren't passing food through. I mean,
what happened to your faith, Tisha, after that moment?
It was a lot stronger. I can't even explain it. I was just settled.
Did it make you trust God more now for other things?
I feel ashamed that I, didn't. Now that I feel this way,
Amen. Amen. Before we finish, and we have two more minutes, why did you guys name him Christian? Is there a special meaning about that?
No, there really wasn't, I guess. I think we picked that name. We painted his room the name before any of this, really. No. I don't know. It was.
Well, we were praying and believing that God is going to do great things in Christianity through this miracle baby. Yeah. Christian, another question. Why does everybody call him a miracle baby? In your words?
Just because he is a miracle to us, and hopefully to other people too. I mean, it's a story you can't really deny. Even the doctors couldn't explain it. So
go ahead, Tisha.
Now he's just like this happy, happy, happy baby. He never cries unless he's hungry. He sleeps through the night. And to go from, being in so much pain and, all the suffering he's gone through to be so happy and perfect, it's a miracle.
Well, we brought him home maybe a month and a half ago, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So when you see them in a hallway, bless this miracle baby Christian. Thank you guys for your story. Weren't they amazing? I think life will throw curveballs, and sometimes we don't know the ending of it. And they had to go through a year of trials. And we want to keep them in our prayers. And God has really blessed them, and we are so glad that they're in our church. Tony and Tisha are leaders in this church. They're growing. It's so interesting. I married them 2 years ago on Christmas. Tisha, around Christmas time. And Tisha got saved here, and Tony recommitted. And so God has been a good God. See, the same God that they serve is the same God that you serve. Sometimes I think as Christians we focus on the negative, glass half empty. But if we look back of what God has done, and their story is like shining bright, but maybe yours is not as big, but I guarantee you that God has done great things in your life this past year. And He wants you to celebrate. He wants you to have faith in Him. And see, the work that He began, He will complete it. And the Word of God says that He will bring you through. He will show up in your life. I'm glad I got to be close to them through this whole process from beginning to the end. And boy, I celebrated. I celebrated with them because nobody wants to go through this. And they went through it, and they're heroes of faith. Amen. There are heroes. They're heroes of faith. They could have gave up and said, God, forget you. Instead, they were strengthened by this God. They were encouraged by this God. And they came out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, unburned. And they bring glory to God. This baby is a miracle baby. This baby does bring glory to God. You know, in Revelations it says, they defeated Satan by the word of their testimony. Satan fears your testimony. He fears you speaking, because when you start to begin to testify how good God is, he runs. He gets defeated. There is a testimony inside each and every one of you. God has done, some of you, He saved your life. Some of you, He protected from suicide. Some of you, He blessed financially. You're out of debt. There is a miracle in each and every one of you. Begin to share it. Tell it to somebody. Tell it to us. Write us on our website. There's a place called Tell Us Your Story. Go and tell us your story. Maybe we can use it. And Satan fears when we testify of what God has done in our life. Hallelujah. You all have a testimony. Share it. Bring people closer to Jesus. Jesus is alive. He's real. He's not some myth. He's no Santa Claus. We stop believing in Santa Claus at 7 and we never start believing him again. Doesn't matter how old we get. People start believing in Jesus when they get understanding of him and keep believing him and trusting him till the last breath they take. Jesus is real. He's a real thing. Hallelujah. I want you all to close your eyes right now and bow your head. Hallelujah. If you don't know this Jesus, if you have walked away from Jesus and today you don't even know why you're here, I know why you're here. God has brought you here because He wants a relationship with you. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to heal you. He wants to remove condemnation. He wants to remove fear, anxiety, worry out of your life. What He has for you, thoughts for His for you, are better than your thoughts for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts to prosper you, give you peace and a great future." See, the world, Satan, has thoughts for you as well. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, "I want to give you life to the fullest. I want to help you through your pain. I want to help you through your suffering. So after you've suffered a little while, you will become as pure as gold." So He's knocking at the door of your heart today. He wants to come in and live and be the Lord of your life. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if you would like to give your life to Christ, last day of the year, last church day of the year, so next year you can start fresh with a relationship with Jesus, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. Decision time, people. Decision time. But I've done bad things. But I'm addicted to something. I can't quit. Decision time. It takes decision, and then after decision comes action. On a count of three, would you please raise your hand if you want to surrender your life to Christ? You're tired of holding all this pain. You're tired of carrying this load that it's too heavy. You cannot carry it. Like Tisha said, she had to surrender it to Jesus, and things became, and peace came over. I feel like God wants some of you to surrender. Hallelujah. On a count of three, 1, 2, 3, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Raise your hand and keep it high. Anybody else? 10th person. Is there a 10th person? One more, please. Raise your hand. One more. Thank you. We got two more. Thank you. Hallelujah. Say, "Jesus, forgive me. Save me. Come into my heart and live. Make my life so I can live it for your glory. From this moment, I believe that I'm forgiven, that I'm a child of God. I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen." Put your hands together and bless God. Celebrate, church. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came here today? Isn't God good? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have sandwiches. We have coffee in the cafeteria. Go get some food. Bless one another. Hug one another. If you need prayer, the prayer line will be open right now. If you need prayer, please come to the front and get prayer and go and eat some food.